I'm not great at these slides, but I'll give it a shot. If you can't hear me, yell, and maybe I'll hear you. All right, so we're talking about the mixed Hodge structure, or the mixed Hodge-Tate structure. I'm going to stop saying Tate. Mixed Hodge-Tate structures, just special cases of mixed Hodge structures, on, say, things like H0 of PXY of some variety, and typically we're looking at this, and I'm going to be a bit sloppy. I said a mixed Hodge structure had to have an underlying lattice that was finitely generated. This guy's an inverse limit of such things. Let me know if this is A, not in focus, and B, not... right, there we go. So this is an inverse limit, right? So this is a projective limit of the H0 PXY of U mod the various this filtration here, right? And all of these individual guys have a mixed Hodge structure, and it forms an inverse system of mixed Hodge structures. And so I'm going to just consider the mixed Hodge structure to be on the whole thing. It's just going to be a projective, you know, pro object in this category, whatever. And so here U is going to be, as always, it's going to be minus some set, which is A1, AN. Sometimes that'll be 0, 1, and infinity. And I'll call this set S, as I've always done. And so what does this mean? So what I explain, so how do we put the mixed Hodge structure on this guy here? And of course, when X is equal to Y, this is just the completed group ring of pi 1, right? But somehow I think this path torsor, as it's called, is a very important gadget. And in fact, I think it's more fundamental. And people usually think about the, because it's somehow it's a Durham representation of the fundamental groupoid, right? And somehow a groupoid is more important. We don't tend to teach that in topology classes. Maybe we should. Okay, so how do we do this? Well, we take the power series algebra that I'll just quickly remind you, x1, xn, and you can think of these guys as being a basis of the first homology, more or less, say with complex coefficients. And xj represents the little loop that goes around aj. And then you give xj, the monomial xj1, xjk, you give this type minus k minus k. Right? This is just some formal thing. And if I was just doing Tate gadgets, I would just call it grade minus 2k or something. But because it's part of a bigger theory, I'm going to correctly number everything. Okay? And so, in other words, the variables have type minus 1, minus 1, and all these filtrations are compatible with products or the grading. And so, and I define F minus P of A to be equal to the monomials of degree equal to or less than P, and W minus 2M of A is equal to the monomials of degree greater than or equal to m, right? So everything's negative because, sorry?
It's hard to see the bottom.
You can't see the bottom, okay. So maybe I'll, how's that? Okay, so it's just the way things are done that the Hodge filtration is negative because we're looking at H lower 0, it's a homology type object. It's dual to iterated integrals, which are, you know, they're more cohomological, and they're the Hodge filtration's positive and the weights are positive. Just something you have to get used to. Anyway, and so we get the rational structure, say, by looking at H. I'm just going to talk about Q mixed Hodge structures now. We look at H0 of P, X, Y, U, completed, say with rational coefficients, we map that into A using our theta. So this just takes some path gamma, and it takes it to this transport evaluated on gamma. T's this big formal power, this iterated, this A-valued iterated integral, right? And when I tensor the left-hand guy with the complex numbers, this becomes an isomorphism. And the filtration, the weight filtration, is the filtration I defined before. So W minus 2M is equal to JXYM. So it's defined rationally, and this is a mixed Hodge structure, mixed Hodge Tate structure. So that's just, that's a little review of where we were last time. And now I want to talk about, maybe I want to do, I'm going to make a remark about one example, because last time I explained, and I think it's important to sort of balance out the examples with everything else, that in Hodge land, in just about every land, X to 1 Hodge, say of, well, I'll put here Z by Zn, so here n is greater than or equal to 0, sorry, greater than or equal to 1, say, this is equal to, sorry? Ah. Yeah. So this will be C modulo, and I'm now going to just write Zn, where Zn is to be understood as 2 pi I to the n times Z. Right, so I'll abuse notation sometimes, and so in particular, and also if you do, maybe I'll say it here, x one Hodge of q by qn is going to be equal to c mod qn. So it's this other group modulo, it's torsion. We're mainly talking about q guys, q mixed Hodge Tate structures. So this is the guy to think about here. And I just want to realize one particular example. So let's look at, so in the notes. So let's, well, first of all, x1 Hodge of, say, z by z of 1 is isomorphic to C star. And when you study mixed Hodge theory, you should understand this example 15,000 different ways. So as a start, I'll show you two different ways. So the first way, and I'll describe it very briefly, is in the notes. So I want to show that every element of this arises from geometry, and then you'll also see which ones are arithmetic. I can look at H1 of C star, or if I want to be fancy, I could say GM, but I'll just say C star. And I can take it, and there's typos in my notes here, relative to 1 and X. So I mean relative homology in the sense of, and this maps to H0 reduced of the two points 1 and X, but this is just equal to Z generated by the class of, say, X minus the class of 1. There's lots of typos in this. But anyway, this guy is just a copy of Z, and this is really a copy of Z of 0. Think of a point as being a smooth projective variety of dimension 0, right? So it's, and then the kernel here is H1 of C star, and I already told you that that's really Z of 1. So this provides me an extension. So here's a picture. There's a picture in the notes. Here's the Riemann sphere. We remove, say, 0 and infinity. So here's the equator here. That's the real projective line. Here's infinity. We remove those. Here's 1 over here, and we have X. And if you prefer, you can identify, if you want something that looks more like an algebraic variety, just identify those. Here's 0, here's infinity, and you just identify 1 and X. And then you get a nodal curve, nodal cubic. And you've removed the two appropriate points. And then in this case, you're really looking at, this is just H1 of this singular curve. And you can see it'd be defined over a number field, K if X is in K, or it's defined in F. And now I'll actually just point this out and you can read the notes, right? So this is one realization of that extension. Maybe I'll say the key period is this. You have to pick an integral cycle. So I pick a path. Yeah, I'll show you how this one works. Right, so what's the period matrix here? What's the basis of the... there's going to be a... No, let me do another one. I'll just tell you the basic period is you take the path here, gamma, and the basic period is the integral over gamma of dz over z. Right, that's the only interesting period, and this is just equal to the integral from 1 to z of, sorry, 1 to x of dz over z. That's getting small, I guess. So that's log x. And that's the basic period. And you view log x, as it's not well defined, but it's well defined modulo 2 pi iz. So this is an element of c mod z of 1, right? It's a well-defined element of c mod z of 1. And then this is isomorphic via the exponential map to c star. And this just goes to x element of c star. So I've realized x. So let me give another example, just so it's all nice and concrete. The second example of how to realize it, and I'll be sort of brief here, is I could look at h0 of the paths. And this is a hint. You'll see the logarithm appear here. And in fact, you can get all the polylogarithms this way. And I hope to say something about that near the end. But let's look at the paths, say, in C star, again, from 1 to x, right? And I take h0 of this, and I mod it out by j squared 1x. And again, this guy maps via just this sort of trace map or whatever, the augmentation, to z of 0. And the kernel, you can easily check, is h1 of C star. But that's just equal to z of 1. Right? And again, you can ask, so in the complex form, you know, this map theta is going to take this to C of x0. x0 represents the variable around 0. We're dividing out by the maximal ideal squared. So this is just a series of the form A plus B x0. And this map here would take, it's just evaluation at x0. And the kernel is just C times x0, which is the way we set up, you know, when we studied the mixed Hodge structure here, that's what this is. So this map's in here. And so when I try to write down the period matrix here, I get my basis is going to be that's adapted to all the filtrations, x0 and x1. And and then my paths here, I'm going to just take, just confuse myself for a second. Why am I confused? Well, I have a path from 1 to x, which is the same gamma, and I'm just trying to think of what I should put here. Oh, well. Anyway, so the fundamental period here anyway is, it's going to be 1, and this period over here is the integral of dz over z, again, from 1 to x along this path gamma. And I'm slightly confused about what goes here. I've just drawn a blank, okay? So, but again, this is the fundamental period, and this extension here, again, realizes x element of c star equals x 1 Hodge z by z of 1. You know, when you're working at a blackboard and you have a moment like that, you call it blackboard radiation. Oh, we're off the bottom of the board. I don't know what to call this, but it comes from staring down into one of these.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused. Maybe I shouldn't ask this, but when you write down the periods, this is an extension of z by z1.
Yes.
So how come?
That's a 0 and this is a 1. You're right. What am I doing? So this should be, so this should be gamma here, and I'm not.
There should be a 2 pi I somewhere, and that integral
should go. Yeah, and this integral should, you're right. So let's see if I can get rid of that. 1 to x. Yeah, sorry. I'll put this in the notes. And so whatever this is down here, I just can't. This is 2 pi I. Right? That should be the period matrix. So I just, let me get, all right, so let's now talk about limit mixed Hodge structure. And so what's the problem? So what I have in the notes, I start out trying to explain why we use tangential base points. But And there's some sort of cosmic reason for that. We just have to do that to get nice periods like multiple zeta values. But the problem is, what we'd like to do is we'd like to say, suppose instead we look at p1 minus 0, 1 and infinity, here's 0, and here are these two tangent vectors that you've seen in Matsumoto's talk. We'd like to, if we call this one, say, here 0, 1, and this one 1, 0, we'd like to look at the paths h0 of the path, say, from 0, 1 to 1, 0 of u being p1 minus 0, 1 and infinity. We'd like to say there's a mixed Hodge structure on that. But the problem is that if you take, for example, the path from 0 to 1 and you try to evaluate all the appropriate iterated integrals on it, they diverge. A lot of them diverge. In fact, the only ones that converge are the ones that start with an omega 1 and with a w0, and you integrate from 0 to 1. These ones converge. In fact, they converge to a multiple zeta number. But if I put, for example, the integral from 0 to 1 of w0, w1, this diverges. And so there's two questions you should be, there's three questions we need to address. One is, what's the definition of this space in topology? The second is, why the hell are we doing this? And I'll get to that later. And the third is, how do we cope with this? How do we sort of regularize these integrals? So let me start with the definition of what it means in topology to use tangential base points. So this idea, I think, is due to Deligne. It's certainly, first place I know it appears is in his paper on P1 minus 0, 1 and infinity. But just to let's just for simplicity take C to be a surface. Doesn't even have to be compact, right? And let's take S contained in C is discrete set. So it could be infinite, but you just think of it as a finite set, and I'll set C prime equals C minus S. And now suppose so here's a picture. Here's C, and I have these points here that I'm removing, but I would like to use a non-zero tangent vector at, say, one of these points, or maybe two of these points. So maybe I've got two tangent vectors, V and W. So maybe V is an element of the tangent space of A of C, W is an element of the tangent space of B of C, V is not equal to 0, W is not equal to 0. And A and B I want to have in my set. They could be equal, right? And so what do I mean by, I'll let you hoard these. What do I mean by the paths that start at one tangent vector and end at the other? Well, it's not so surprising. So here's, say, A, here's my tangent vector V, here is B, here's my tangent vector W. I require my path to start at A, and there'll be other points that are missing, right? That I've removed that lie in the set S. So I take a path in C that avoids, after it leaves A, it avoids, So here's my path. It leaves A with velocity vector V, goes wherever it likes, but it cannot touch any point of S after it leaves A until it gets to B, but it has to approach B along the with velocity minus W, right? And this, I claim, is homotopy. Well, you should think about it as a path that starts infinitesimally close to A in the direction of V and ends near B, but infinitesimally in the direction of W. But it's important that gamma of the open unit interval is contained in C prime. The only two times it touches the set, it's initial point, its end point. And to understand why topologically this gives the correct thing, you should take at A, for example, if you take the real oriented blow up, so you replace the point by all the oriented rays that go through that point, that just replaces the point by a circle. So the real oriented blow up just replaces that by a circle. This tangent vector V becomes a point, it's an oriented direction from that point, right? And so topologically, all you've done is just enlarge A and B by a circle, and you're using a base point that lies on that circle. they correspond to the various directions. So then it's obvious, for example, that if I take A and equal to B, and I look at the paths that depart here with velocity vector V and arrive back here with velocity vector minus B, and I take those mod homotopy, it's isomorphic to the fundamental group, right? So this idea of the real or, yeah.
Why does the magnitude of the vector matter?
It does not matter here. And it does not appear to matter in Galois theory, and that's something that perplexes me slightly. It does or it does not?
It's important.
Sorry?
And the length changes, you have to count on that, not the arithmetic. It matters in arithmetic.
Okay, it does. That's good, because in Hodge theory it matters. Because when we're going to normalize the periods, the rate at which we normalize them depends on the length of the vector. And I won't get the formula right off the top of my head when I do it, but it'll give a different answer, right? What are the things? Okay, so let's see how to normalize periods. And so for this, I need to just recall a little bit of ODE, ordinary differential equations. So before I was thinking, what's a nice topologist doing hanging out with a bunch of Galois theorists and algebraists? Now you should say, what's a nice topologist doing talking about differential equations? Well, so let's look at this. Let's suppose we have the differential equation V prime T, so think of T as a complex parameter, equals, say, B of T times V of T, where B, so this is on, so T is, say, in the unit disk, and B takes the disk into, say, the n by n matrices, or let's just say automorphisms of some vector space. So V is a finite dimensional vector space over the complex numbers, and you have this differential equation. Well, let's look at a very special case. For example, B of T equal to B0 equal to a constant. Whoops, I left something off here. I want to put a T there. So this gives the equation regular singular points. So we've got TV prime equals B of 0 times V. And if you ask for the solution, say, inside the automorphism, well, what's the general solution of this? It's going to be V of T is equal to T to the B0. So T to the B0 is defined to be T to the, say, x is defined to be e to the x log t, right? So that's a little definition here. So it's a multi-valued function in general. And let's see, we want to put a v0 there. So that will be our, that if you take t equals 1, you'll get, maybe I should have called it v of 1. That, so in the constant coefficient case, that's the solution. So if you look in some classical books on analysis, it's various ones you can look at. I like this book by Vasov. You see that in general, there exists a holomorphic map. P takes the disk or some neighborhood of the zero. In general, let me just start again. A good way to erase here is just to move it up, right? So if, this is important, no two eigenvalues of B0 differ by a not equal to zero integer. So you can't have two eigenvalues differing by, say, 3. Now we're going to be okay because our automorphisms are all going to be nilpotent, or our endomorphisms. Yeah, sorry, I meant to say here endomorphisms. I just mean matrices. I don't need them to be invertible. So if you're in the nilpotent case, which we are, then everything's hunky-dory and this is going to be satisfied. So there exists a holomorphic P takes the disk into automorphisms of V, such that P of, in fact it's unique, P of 0 equals the identity, and the solution to the original equation is equal to, I think it's, let me just look at my notes. P of t, t to the b zero. Okay. And now, what this tells you, and you've got to be a little bit careful here, is that it tells you the asymptotics of the solution as t goes to zero. So what this says is a corollary, and I write out a proof, in the case when b of zero is nilpotent. So our corollary is that if b of 0 is nilpotent, then the limit as t goes to 0 of t to the minus b 0 times v of t exists, and it equals v 0. Okay, so this is, and it's proved there in the notes, and so basically what it's saying is that v of t is asymptotic to t to the b times some wt, where this wt here is, this is holomorphic and at zero, right? It's not quite saying that. It's saying it's asymptotic to something of that form. There's a slight subtlety here, but it really doesn't matter. Now, where in exactly this situation? Because iterated integrals satisfy ordinary differential equations if you let the endpoints vary. So if I have, so why is this relevant? It's relevant for the following reason. So let me just introduce some notation that's convenient. Suppose I have a path gamma, and I take A less than B, or equal to less than B, element of the unit interval. Then I've got gamma of A here, and I've got gamma of B down here, and I can just look at this subpath here that's just the segment from gamma of A to gamma of B. I've got colors, right? So I can just look at the red part of the path if I can get the cap off. So here's the red part of the path. That's really supposed to be superimposed. This path here we'll call gamma AB, right? And so now, again, it's explained in more detail in the notes, and I'm trying to make sure I've got enough time to do stuff here, is that if you look at so I want to look at a path of a certain form. So if I look at a path, so I'm back in, say, my now I'm going to take U contained in P1 as before. It's P1 minus a finite set. And now if I'm, say, at some aj, and I'm at some ak, and my tangent vector v, which is a tangent vector here, is equal to lambda times d dz. So z is my parameter, and w is going to be equal to mu times d dz. So maybe that's like down like this, and I take a path leaving here, and up to homotopy I can make it actually follow this for a way. So I make it follow this for a way, and coming in here it exactly follows that tangent vector at the correct speed. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take this path, and in the notes I've written down a formula. So it starts out, say, gamma of t is equal to aj plus lambda t for 0 equal to or less than t, much less than 1. So it starts, etc. Now in this case here, okay, so in this case here, what you find is you find, say, that if you take the transport, remember the transport's 1 plus blah, 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 and you've got integral wj1, wjr, xj1, xjr plus and so on. If you take this here, if you evaluate t on the path, say, from gamma to epsilon to 1 minus delta, that this is asymptotic to, if I got it right, it's e to the xj times something c of epsilon delta times delta to the delta to the xk. So the theory of ODEs, I have to apply it at both ends, the initial end and the final end. So what this means is, so this is going to be, so this is starting very close to A and ending very close to B. And it's, this is a function holomorphic in both epsilon and delta, and it's got where epsilon's in a neighborhood of 0, 0. So what this says is I can define, I'll call it theta reg VW of the path gamma. This is this path that starts out at AJ with one tangent factor and ends at the other. It's going to be the limit as epsilon goes to 0 from above, delta goes to 0 from above, of epsilon to the xj t gamma 1 minus delta epsilon times delta to the minus xk. Okay? I think I got that right. Sorry? I've got the minus signs backwards. That's right. Anyway, if I stare at this, then my eyes are adjusted to that, and I see it. This is all I see is a. Sorry.
You can stare at that.
Yeah, but I can't see what I've got in my notes. But anyway, my notes have the correct formula in them. All right. So anyway, so what we can do here is and I should say this thing here. This limit exists. It's going to be the value of this C at the origin. So this is an element of our power series algebra X1, Xn, right? And so what we can do here now is define the limit mixed Hodge structure. I should say, if you're looking at more general situations, this is not the way to do it. You still have to use the same theory of ODE. And if you really want to know how to, it just reduces to this because we're in a very simple case. And if you want to see how to do it right, I wrote a paper on limit mixed Hodge structures for Wilfred Schmidt's 60th birthday, and it's on the archive. And that explains this formula, but it starts using the normal definition of a limit mixed Hodge structure. Yeah. That's just the standard sort of transport power series I'm writing down. Okay, we're in the situation where our U is P1 minus infinity A1 up to AN, and omega J is DZ over Z minus AJ, and where, I mean, the notation I've used in many examples, right? Is that okay? Clear enough? Yep. Okay, this is the, remember I just defined what gamma AB meant. It's the portion of the path starting at time epsilon and finishing at time 1 minus delta. So I'm starting just, oh, where's my thing? It's the path, sorry?
Just refer to the next line. It's just the notation. Is that saying epsilon to the minus xj? Is that saying epsilon to the minus xj at the beginning?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's what I've written. Whether it's, I may have the signs wrong, and I can't read my notes because I can't see. But I can't see my notes because it's sort of, my notes are dark and this is very bright. But the signs are correct in the notes. I made sure of that. All right. So what we can do now is we can, this allows us to define H0PV. Again, U is equal to P1 minus S, and T is as above. I can define PVW U completed into our power series algebra A. So this is our algebra C, X1, Xn. Same filtrations as before. Same Hodge and weight filtrations. I need to come down a little. I have to keep looking at Doug to see where I, okay? And so, and I'm going to call it, well, I'm going to use theta reg to define this, right? I'm just going to take a path gamma, and it's going to go to gamma, just going to do this. And this always converges. It's a well-defined map. And in fact, it's easy to see that it satisfies, well, if I had a U, I have a V, and I have a W, you know, three tangent vectors to this, I can look at, if I have a path from here to here, and another one from here to here, say alpha and beta, right? So this starts with, so if I look at theta reg alpha times theta reg beta, you see that that's equal to theta reg alpha beta. Because when you're at the middle, the two normalizing parts cancel out. You know, you'll have a t to the minus xj and a t to the plus xj next to each other and just remove them. And you can homotop the path away from this point. So you get this here. So this says these maps behave and they have all the wonderful properties that you want. And this defines a mixed Hart structure on this guy here. The weight filtration is given by the powers of j, which corresponds to the filtration by powers of the maximal ideal here. The Hodge filtration is transferred from here over to here. So we've got a limit mixed Hodge structure there. And now, I was going to talk about the limit mixed Hodge structure on P1 minus 0, 1, and infinity, but I'll let my group, group Hodge as we call it, is going to talk about that tomorrow. So I'm not going to talk about the limit mixed Hodge structure on P1 minus 0, 1, and infinity.
Could you put that one back up?
Yeah. You want this one back up?
Yeah.
Sure. Do you want the other one up?
No, I'm just about that. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah.
I have a sort of dumb question here. It seems to me that don't confuse about the domains of the thetas at the bottom. So they're mapping out of different...
Okay, yeah, so this is going to be U, I'll leave UV, VW, UW.
Okay.
So, and there's multiplications between these spaces. You can, there's a map, just like you have for points, if you have paths from X to Y and Y to Z, you get a multiplication between those. And you do the same for tangent vectors. And these regularize holonomy maps or whatever you want to call them, are compatible with that multiplication. So, yeah, let me...
In relation to what you said before, maybe it would be nice to explain how this changes when you scale the vectors.
I'll say roughly. Okay, the question is how does this change? So I've got that question twice, so I should probably answer. How does this depend on V? So I'm going to just do one change. And maybe I'll just do it for the fundamental group, and I'll get it right up to a sign. So let's just look at, Q pi 1 U with tangent vector V hat, right? Now, I'll do it with I'll take V0 equal to, say, DDZ. And I'll take V equal to lambda times DDZ. So that's equal to lambda times, so lambda's an element of C star, lambda times V0. So what happens here is when you look at Q pi 1 U V0 hat, this maps into A, and this maps down here into A, and you've got Q pi 1 U V hat, and these are isomorphic, clearly. It's just topological, right? The topological part doesn't depend upon the length, but you have to put in here conjugation by, and since I'm not defining which way I write conjugation, G inverse blah G or G blah G inverse, I'm going to get this right. it's t to the, so v is an element of the tangent space at aj of u, of, sorry, of p1. It's going to be conjugation by t to the xj. So is that okay? So it really does change. Even if you just change, if t is real, it'll sort of rescale all the periods. Ah, sorry. I meant not t, lambda. The parameter. And if you want fancy terminology, this is a variation. As you let the tangent vector vary over all the non-zero tangent vectors, it's a variation of mixed Hodge structure over the punctured tangent space at the point. It's a so-called nilpotent orbit. Okay. All right, so I want to change pace now because I think there are some things that could be said. My goal now is to try to answer the question, why are we making life difficult by looking at these tangential base points? And why do we expect we'll get particularly nice answers? And why does what Matsumoto doing, why does it sort of look like some of what I'm doing here? Maybe it doesn't look alike, but it will after tomorrow, I hope. So I want to talk a little bit about mixtate motives over spec Z. So you don't have to know what these words mean. You already know several examples over spec Z. So the first thing is, when people started talking about these, I don't remember when, I probably first heard about them in the late 80s, they didn't exist. But they actually exist now with all these wonderful properties. But let me sort of try to say what they are and where they come from. So, and this has come up implicitly elsewhere. So here's spec Z. And so imagine if you have mixtate motives over spec Z arise when you have some variety or some scheme over spec Z, which at every prime looks the same in some sense, right? And also over zero, where you get the sort of rational points here. If it looks the same everywhere. So I'll give you an example. So examples, and if the cohomology of that variety is all of type PP, it's all Tate, or in Galois land, if the Galois action on the cohomology, at least on the graded quotients of the weight filtration, is always given by powers of the cyclotomic character. That's what Tate means in the two particular cases. Then things you get out of these guys should be mixed Tate motives over spec Z. So let me give you an example of things that have everywhere good reduction. The first one is sort of Pn over Z. I mean, the topology there is not super interesting. Moduli space is Mgn over Z. And this is for two, you have to have 2g minus 2 plus n positive. So for so an example there would be sort of m04, which is equal to p1 minus 0, 1, and infinity. And so let me say why that always looks the same at every prime. It looks the same at every prime because no matter which prime you reduce at, it's still p1 minus 3 points. So combinatorially, it's a line minus 3 distinct points. Now, let me give you an example that's not. So, a non-example. And this is not only, when am I finishing? No. Yeah. So, if I take P1 minus 0, 1, infinity, and say some integer n. This is bad when I reduce mod p if p divides either n, because then n becomes 0, or p divides n minus 1. So this is bad when p divides n times n minus 1. So this is not a motive over spec Z, because combinatorially it's changed. Over different primes, you have to remove different numbers of points from p1. Right? So p1 minus 0, 1, and infinity. Oh, and all of its cohomology here is Tate. We've already seen that. So all you've got here is the first homology, and it's direct. It's z of 1 plus z of 1, independent of what category you're in. So what if you want to look at, so we're trying to, so we obtain mixtate motives over spec Z by looking at invariants of these things. And one invariant would be cohomology. You don't get too much for P1 minus 0 on infinity, but you can look at the fundamental group. Right? So you need a base point. So you need to look at something like the unipotent completion of pi 1 of P1 minus 0, 1 and infinity. But you run into the same problem again. You need a base point. And if I take the base point to be, say, n, I run into exactly the same problem. My base point runs off the edge of my variety when p divides n times n minus 1. So this guy, if I put an n here, I'm not going to write it because I don't want to get this stuff on my hands, it's going to have bad reduction at certain primes. So it's not going to be defined at every prime and look just the same. So you're forced to choose a tangent vector. And you want the tangent vector to be non-zero mod every prime. So you've got 0, 1, and infinity. And at 0, you've got the tangent vector ddz, element of t of 0, p1. And if I multiply it by 2, it's going to be 0 mod 2, right? So the only choices I've got are to take that and minus that. And then you can, the symmetry of group of, symmetric group on the three letters x here. So there's only 6 good base points that you can use. And they're all the same up to the action of the automorphism group. So that's why we're looking at this guy, not even twice that guy. And so these mixtate motives are, and it's in fact been proven that by Dalin and Goncharov that this thing is an actual object in this category of mixtate motives over spec Z. It's been constructed thanks to Voyevodsky, I'll get the order correct, Voyevodsky slash Dalin for some abstract stuff, then Levine who did it for mixtate motives over a spec of a number field, say, and then Goncharov and Dalin finally. So all this stuff's in place. And so mixtate motives over spec Z have, you can realize them in various ways. There'll be a Hodge realization, and that'll be a mixed Hodge structure. So that's what I'm talking about, the mixed Hodge structure on the fundamental group. There'll be the sort of L-adic realization. If you look at the pro-L fundamental group, that'll be, it's got a Galois action. You've got that. And these are all so-called compatible realizations. They sort of, in some sense, if you squint enough, they all look the same. But there's some cosmic thing that underlies them all. And I got 5 or 6 minutes. Let me just look at my notes. Yeah, several different things I could say here. But let me try to explain why the Drinfeld associator is like what Matsumoto and his students are working on. So I want to look at the following picture in topology. So this is supposed to be a picture of things that are motives over spec Z. So I'm going to start out, here's my topologist picture of P1 minus 0, 1 and infinity. And now I can include this into, C star is another thing, or GM is another thing here, 0. And you can also sort of take infinitesimal things. So think of a small puncture disk around 0, right? You can just think of it as a speck of a DVR. And it makes sense in every land. So you've got an inclusion here. You've got an inclusion minus 0, 1 and infinity. 0, 1 hat, it maps to the completed group ring here, which is Q pi 1, say GM, 0, 1. Doesn't matter what base point we use there, it doesn't matter. And we're also going to have an inclusion here. And all these are going to be morphisms of mixed Hodge structures or Galois invariant, whatever. They're going to be morphisms of motives over spec Z. And I'm going to have Q pi 1 of the punctured disk, 0, 1 maps here. This map's going to be an isomorphism, right? Now, so therefore this is an inclusion, but let's look at this guy here. If we look at this, there's a loop. I'll call this little loop here sigma 0. Log of sigma 0 here, in fact, q times that is a copy of q of 1 in here. It's just, just think about it. Sigma 0, if you do the Hodge theory for either of these two guys, goes to the exponential of x0. So its logarithm goes to x0. And what this tells you is that in here you've got a copy q of sigma zero contained in here is really, this is an inclusion of mixed height structures. And so this is sort of a motivic thing. And so what, I don't know if I can bring this off in 3 minutes, but we'll try. All right, so so what I want to do now is look at the paths from, I want to look at H0 of the paths from 0, 1 to 1, 0. This is sort of where the Drinfeld associator lives. I complete that. Now, I want to label, I'm going to call, say, so if I look on the level of complex things here, this is going to be CX0, X1. When I apply the Durham theorem, on the Durham level, it looks like this. And so the kernel is going to be the ideal generated by X1. So whatever is the kernel of this map is this ideal generated by this, and I'm going to call that D, D for depth. Because this is depth filtration that comes into multiple zeta numbers. It's basically the number of variables in the multiple zeta function. So now what I want to do is I want to look at this, and I want to mod out by D squared plus the ideal generated by log of sigma 0 times, it's both of these things times this H0 on this side. Now both of these guys, this is an exact, this is a morphism in the category of motives over spec Z, if you like, or mixed Hodge structures or Galois modules. So this D is a mixed Hodge structure or whatever. And I said last time, mixed Hodge structures, or if you like, Galois modules, form an abelian category. So this quotient is also a mixed Hodge structure or something like that. This guy in the Durham thing is X0. So if we look in the Durham picture, this is CX0, X1, mod. All these are the things that have degree greater than or equal to 2 in X1, and these are all things that that have an X0 on the left. This is X0 times anything. And so if you look at all the monomials here, they start at X1, X0, X0. You get 1, and then you get all monomials of the form X1, X0 to the A. That's all you get. And the iterated integrals that correspond to these are the iterated integrals of the form 0 to 1 of omega 1, omega 0, omega 0, which is equal to zeta. If I have n minus 1 of these, it's zeta of n. And if you look at, so this is the this is the exact analog of what Matsumoto was looking at. This is part of the so-called polylogarithm variation. So I apologize if this is too abstract, but let's see. So what you get here is you get this H0 of P0, 1, 1, 0, U, and you mod out by all this junk on the left. This maps by the usual trace to Q of 0. And if you write down the kernel, you find it's the direct sum, n greater than or equal to 1, of Q of 1. Okay? Q of n, thanks. And now, it's not, you have to think about why it's a direct sum, and it's not a whole bunch of extensions, but it's a direct sum. And you can split this up into a whole bunch of extensions of Q of 0 by these Q of n. So this corresponds to a whole bunch of classes in X1, and you can do it in any category of, say, Q by Q of n. And I'll put X1 Hodge here. We've already seen that this is C mod Q of n. And what extension is it? Well, I wrote down the period over there. It's the class of zeta of n. So this is for n bigger than 1. It turns out the n equals 1 part splits. So out of this thing, I've constructed extensions that correspond to each value of the Riemann zeta function at positive integers. Matsumoto was writing down these Soule characters, which give, if you do this in Galois land, you're constructing these all the extensions that correspond to these Soule characters or Soule classes, and somehow these correspond exactly. I mean, this, they have the same provenance from classes in K-theory. I guess I don't know how to say that in a simpler way. The only other thing I'll point out is that N even, this guy here is zero in this group. Zeta N is congruent to zero because it's a rational multiple of pi to the n in that case, and you can see it's zero in here. And N odd, it's always zeta N has got infinite order. And that should look like exactly what happens in the situation in Galois cohomology. So that's because when N is odd, Qn is this guy here is contained in I times R, and zeta N is a real number. So it's just because it's non-zero, it's of infinite order. So maybe I'll just stop here because my time is 3 minutes over.